Come over here, kid. What is something? You never know, you might have to cook for 20 guys someday. You see? You start out with a little bit of wood. You fry some garlic. Then you throw in some tomatoes, tomato paste, you fry it, you make sure it doesn't stick. You got it to a boil, you shove in all your sausage and your meatballs. Huh? And a little bit of wine. A little bit of sugar.
Delicious.
And that's my trick.
When the moon hits your eye like a big pizza pie, that's amore.
Enough. I'm so sick and tired of hearing you people talk about food, food, food. That's all anybody ever talks about is prosciutto, cheese, and fava beans. I'm drowning here.
Jesus Christ, take it easy.
We're not even engaged yet.
When you're married, you'll understand the importance of fresh produce.
I eat with gusto, damn your bet, my country, 'tis of thee. I eat for social progress, I eat for victory.
Delicious.
You want some more?
Good evening and welcome to Mouthful, the Wine Country's Most Delicious Hour. It's Michelle Anna Jordan. I hope you've had a great weekend and thanks for tuning in tonight. Oh, there's been so much going on yet again this weekend. I probably have to quit saying that because it seems like I'm repeating myself every weekend. But that's what harvest is like in the wine country in Sonoma County and the Redwood Empire. I spent most of the day at the Sebastopol Renaissance Fair, and it was really a very sweet thing. I think in some years it's been blisteringly hot, and it's really hard to wear a Renaissance costume when it's really hot. So today was cooler, and I went. It was really a very, very nice day. And some of the vendors that you're used to seeing at the farmer's market were actually selling at the fair today. There was Nelly's Oysters, there was Latte's Indian Cuisine, and Dominique's Sweets, who did both miniature apple tarts, but also did really delicious meat pasties. Anyway, it was a lovely event, and I learned a lot about speaking Elizabethan. So we may even do that here on Mouthful at some point. But tonight we're not talking Elizabethan, we are talking cheese. We have Doralise Handel, did I pronounce it correctly? Handle, okay, of the cheese shop in Healdsburg, who has been celebrating her birthday for the last several days, eating yummy things, including something out at Rocker Oysterfellers earlier today. So I really appreciate that you took time to come on your birthday weekend.
Thank you.
Now, if I memory serves me, you bought the cheese shop, which is there on Center Street, a couple blocks north of the square, from Susan Wall Robinstein.
Yes.
Who founded the store. Was that about 10 years ago?
I bought the store 7 years ago.
Years ago. Okay, great. Why?
I was working in San Francisco, and I really started to... I was working for Whole Foods and had been working for Cowgirl and was just getting really fascinated with Sonoma County. And I knew Susan, and I knew she was getting pretty burnt out.
Yeah,
she was. She was getting pretty fried. And she wasn't from Healdsburg, and she was getting... sort of antsy, wanted to do something else with her life. And my father actually had moved up to Healdsburg because he has two different vineyards and he was growing grapes and selling them. So I was getting pretty immersed with the Healdsburg area. And then I had a couple of close friends that were moving up to Healdsburg to work at the, at that point, Cyrus was just opening. So they were quitting their jobs and leaving and heading for this town that I knew nothing about. So I became very fascinated and very intrigued by the fact that all these folks were leaving San Francisco for Healdsburg.
Yes, but that's an interesting convergence in your life.
So I thought, I got to get figure out what's going on up there. Something obviously is up. So I got to know Susan. I got to know, I had shopped at the store in the past because I had worked with Susan in the past. So I just kind of followed her, and I actually offered to buy the store in 2004, but she wasn't ready. And I wasn't really ready yet. I was still doing catering and consulting in the city. And I had set up an import company. I was importing cheeses from Ecuador. And that's was keeping me pretty busy. So in 2005, I offered again, and she was ready.
Uh-huh.
So
and
I took
moved
it.
To Portland, right?
She moved to Portland. She wanted to buy a house. She couldn't really do that in Healdsburg. Yeah. She had friends and family in Portland, and so she decided that that was where she wanted to go to. Uh-huh. And she wanted to not have to be responsible for a business.
Yeah.
She was kind of done with that. So, and I was ready.
Uh-huh.
So I went in.
So how has your Healdsburg adventure been? Do you feel like it's home now?
I do, finally. It took a while. It was really hard to sort of get immersed in the culture. You know, most of the folks that I was meeting in the first year that I had the store had families or already a close-knit group of friends. They were really, it was really hard to, it was definitely not the experience I felt when I lived in New York. When I lived in New York City, when I lived in San Francisco, you would meet people all the time, and they just, you were constantly being included into something.
Mm-hmm.
And I just didn't feel that the first year I was at the store. Mm-hmm. And it was hard also because I was commuting. I was trying to find a place
you were
to live.
Commuting from San Francisco?
I was living from, yeah.
Oh, my gosh.
So it was a really tricky kind of existence. So I didn't start to really feel familiarity with a place or getting to have friends or people that I could rely on until like about the second or third year.
Mm-hmm.
And then it just took off.
Yeah.
But I'm also really not shy, and I will go and introduce myself to almost anybody that, you know, looks in my direction and
mm-hmm.
crack a joke. And I basically plied all the bartenders in Sonoma County with cheese. And so I got to know a lot of people that way.
Yeah, that's
anyway,
a great way to do it.
It's a good way to meet people is
sure.
showing up at the bar with a little Scooby snack for one of the bartenders. So so I did that with Scotty over at Cyrus, and he introduced me to a ton of people.
Sure.
And that was
Scott Beatty.
Yeah. So that was probably one of the smartest things I could have done.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, now it's home.
So tell us about how the store is today.
When Susan had it, it was a pretty small space.
Yeah, she had a huge space in the back.
She had a huge, huge room that she never used in the back.
Right.
And then she had a huge front part of the store that was mostly external. And she paid for all of that rent, but she didn't. She had this display window with these hilarious oversized stuffed toys that were in the form of men. They were like
men at a table,
Cabbage Patch men or something.
Yes.
And they were dressed in these weird outfits. And
yeah.
That's kind of her display window. And so she paid for all this empty space that she never really used. And then she had a good percentage of the inventory was non-food, like aprons and books and
mm-hmm.
knives and graters and things like that.
Right.
And she had a pretty limited inventory. And but she managed to, you know, bring in a lot of product that a lot of people in this area had never tasted
before. She brought in Montgomery cheddar.
Yeah, she was just a really bold person. She was able to get behind certain cheeses and behind certain specialty foods. And so she obviously interested me. Obviously, I wouldn't have bought the business if she hadn't.
Mm-hmm.
So I just expanded on that to the point where I'm really sort of get into people's faces about certain items that I really think that people should try. But I'm really good about, you know, getting people to try things and not being afraid of it and not mm-hmm. forcing people to buy, you know, a half a pound of something. I don't
sure.
want to not see you ever again.
Uh-huh.
I want you to come back. So
what is it? Somebody walks, I walk in your door. What is it that you look at me and you think you have to try blah, blah?
You know, I usually try to feel out. What I do is I play 20 questions.
Okay.
I really want, I know it's really daunting to come into a store like mine and having never seen any of the inventory that
mm-hmm.
I have.
And about how many cheeses do you have?
Well, now, right now, I have about 100.
Okay.
And, you know, I have about 1,000 other products. So it's, you know, if you've walked into that and you've never actually been into a space like that, you're immediately going to get a little bristly. You're not going to know how to deal. And
mm-hmm.
so the first thing we do is we just greet you, and we want to see if you want to taste something or, you know, get a feeling for what it is that you might want.
Mm-hmm.
And I know that for a fact it's really hard for a lot of mongers to, you know, and that's sellers of anything, to get past a lot of your wall that you've put up if you come into a store like mine and
sure.
not really know what you want. You might also have had a really terrible day. You know,
you might be
a terrible memory. You might
yeah.
be shy. You might be leaving your husband. I don't know. There'd be so many different things that be coming into play. So I want to pull all of that away, and I want to make you taste something that I think is really delicious.
Mm-hmm.
But I preface it by saying that it's something that I really like, but you might not like it, and that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
And to just be confident that you should trust your palate.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of things that you taste, it's all based on your memory. So if you taste something that immediately reminds you of your mother and you had a terrible relationship with your mother, we got to get you away from that as fast as possible. So, you know, we just have to figure out how what you want to taste, and then we just go from there. And obviously, I can't do that with everybody, but that's most people eventually sort of bring me something, they soften and they say, okay, well, I really like that. And I say, why don't you like that? And then we figure out what they might actually like. Uh-huh. So, yeah, if you came in and you wanted to try something creamy but really didn't know what kind of creamy cheese you wanted to taste, then I'm going to start to sort of rattle off descriptors that would be creamy.
Mm-hmm.
And then just try to figure out what it is that you like.
Uh-huh.
And then give you a taste.
Interesting. So really part of what you're doing is the old world shopkeeper style.
Yeah.
And people are so used to emotionally bundling up and going into all these anonymous spaces. So it's really great.
Yeah. And it's also really hard now. You get so many things thrown at you. You know, you get Facebook and Foursquare and all the online stuff and then blogs and then Food Network and TV. And you're being told by everybody in every direction what you should be eating or how you should be eating it. And you don't even know what you want to have anymore. You know, it's this constant battle. So to just sort of break all that down and, you know, it's now obviously we've just come through and we're going into sort of full on tomato season. And it's really hard for a lot of folks to sort of get past the fact that you don't have to have mozzarella with your tomatoes.
No, you don't.
In fact, you know, it's just, you're killing me here. You know, you can have so many other cheeses with your tomatoes. And obviously it's a beautiful combination, but a lot of people don't like mozzarella. So.
Yeah. And not all mozzarella is likable.
And not all mozzarella is likable. So just trying to figure out what it is that you might want to taste. And, you know, so.
Interesting. You know. So how did you get into importing Ecuadorian cheeses?
I was raised in Ecuador. My father had a textile company in Ecuador. And so my family lived there. My parents are from New York, but they, through our very long and cultured history, my dad's side of the family is Palestinian. And so part of his family, my grandfather, paternal grandfather came from Palestine and went to New York, and my great grandfather, and that sort of, they set up post in New York, whereas my maternal, my dad's mom was born and raised in El Salvador as a Palestinian family in Central America. And there were all these relatives that happened to be in Latin America. And one of them just happened to be in Ecuador running this textile company. And my father was one of the first groups of the Peace Corps when JFK sent everybody south. And he was in Bolivia. And he just, that was it. He was like, I'm not going back to New York. You know, he grew up in New York and went to college in New York. And the idea of just living in New York was just not for him, not after he'd seen Bolivia. So he went and he took over the business. It was a textile business in Ecuador. And so that's how we all ended up there.
Wow. That's a great story.
So, yeah. And so by proxy, we were all in Ecuador. My sister was born in Ecuador, but you know, I was raised there. I was born, I probably would have been born in Ecuador if my mom hadn't gone into labor in Albuquerque, but you know, whatever.
Things
that's
happen
what happens.
Like that, yes.
So, you know. So American, but we're basically Americans that lived overseas. And and so I became, that pay was a really rich part of my life. And when I worked for the Cowgirls, they were trying to bring in more and more cheeses.
Mm-hmm,
and
yes.
They were really trying to expand. And at the time, they were really focusing on bringing in, you know, Mexican cheeses and Canadian cheeses. And they had all the English cheeses and the European cheeses. And they just thought it would be a really nice aspect to bring in some Latin American cheeses.
Mm-hmm.
So there I was, the Ecuadorian, working for them, and we tried to figure out how to make this work. And eventually it was just a lot of me fighting the Ecuadorian government and trying to figure out how to actually export anything from Latin America that wasn't cocaine or chocolate or, you know, roses or, you know, high commodity items.
Right.
So cheese is not really on the, you know, high
interesting.
Commodity.
Interesting. And I confess I know nothing about Ecuadorian cheeses.
Well, and there's really, it's mostly expats. It's mostly Swiss and Italian and Portuguese and Spanish that have been living and growing up in Ecuador. And so then they produce the food of the motherland. So it's very similar cheeses to Parmesan. And Swiss.
Oh, so like if you look at Argentina, like in Argentina.
Yeah. And so you have Reggianito. Well, the Argentines are mostly, you know, defiant Italians, and they're making Reggianito, which is Parmesan Reggiano made in Argentina.
Oh, okay.
So it's a lot of that same kind of cheese. And there were a lot of Dutch that were making Goudas and Gouda style cheeses in Brazil, and that's still kind of the case. So I basically worked with a couple of dairies that I was very familiar with when I grew up in Ecuador, and we decided that we would just come up with cheeses that they would make and age specifically for export to the States. So, and I'm very grateful I did it. And the long and short of it, we tried to sell it through Cowgirl. We tried to sell it through other distributorships. And it's just still really hard because, I, of course, I was a, you know, little fish in a really massive pond. Yeah. And I was trying to export and import alongside, you know, the likes of Columbus and, you know, Cheeseworks and all these really massive distributorships. And so I basically sell it at my store. I've sold it to Dean and DeLuca and Oxbow, and I do a lot of hand selling.
But so did you bring an Ecuadorian cheese tonight?
I did not.
It's okay.
You know, my bad.
Okay.
But I brought others. I brought other goodies.
Yeah, you brought, you know. It's a fascinating mound of stuff.
I got
that
a little
have.
Distracted. You know, I wanted to bring you things that I really like right now, and then I was like, and then there's this, and I was pulling off the shelves, and
that's a
I
good
had
thing.
To stop.
We like
it was
that.
Like,
no.
Fill the crate and then leave.
Well, I want a cheese. I want to try the cheeses in our next segment. Yeah. I want to set it all up for that and then leave people wanting more, like I'm feeling right now.
Yeah.
So let's continue with the story. Well, I'm curious, what were the hurdles? I would have guessed, if you'd asked me to guess, I would guess that there would be hurdles with the American government getting the cheese in.
It was everything.
Not with the Ecuadorian government getting it out.
It was a little bit of both because, of course, I was trying to bring things in after 9/11. And what happened after 9/11 is that the world sort of changed incredibly. I mean, obviously, reeling from a horrible tragedy, but also the U.S. government and the U.S., all the different systems that help bring in food to the United States just had no idea what to do. And the same thing with Europe. And what ended up happening is a lot of new rules came to play. And so it was actually pretty easy because the U.S. had actually set up all of these new laws and regulations and requirements to import anything into the U.S. As a small importer like me, I'm not bringing in hundreds of thousands of pounds. I'm bringing in 1,000 pounds and not all the time. So I was able to actually bring in a lot of things with ease because I was already having to answer to all these new regulations that a lot of other distributors hadn't had to deal with. So for me in the beginning, I was okay with the U.S. government. It was the Ecuadorian government had problems because they want a piece of the pie.
Oh, you have to pay people.
So we kind of have to, you know, do a lot of, and I was a woman and trying to figure, you know, which guy you have to talk to and, you know, make sure I get, it was a lot of that.
Oh, wow.
And so it was learning from my dad and what he had to do for 30, 40 years of exporting textiles to the States.
Oh, okay, yeah. So he must have been a big
importing cotton and having to do that. I basically learned a lot about how to deal with, you know, policy and export and, and then working with my other friends that were in distributorships. And so it was, and of course it's a constant, you know, because this last time we were bringing in cheese and it was a mutual problem. The U.S. government was giving me grief. The Ecuadorian government was giving me grief. And then at some point we're like, it's not even worth it. It's just not even worth it right now.
Yeah.
I would rather have the cheese in its aging cellars in Ecuador and have the Ecuadorian cheesemaker be able to sell all the product, you know, in his country and continue to have, you know, employment for all of us. You know, that for me, it was like sustaining the product and selling it in Ecuador. And then let's just figure out all the governmental issues. It took a while. It took about close to a year to.
But so now, but now you have it pretty.
It's, you know, it's every time it's every time
it's different.
Oh yeah.
Okay. Of course it is.
It's the Banana Republic. You know.
Exactly.
You know,
oh so. Yes. Just my little tiny bit of experience in that part of the world. I understand. So let's see. I want you to describe, because we're going to take a break in just a couple minutes. So I want you to describe this beautiful array of foods that is sitting before us.
When I first bought the store, I really thought I was just going to be selling cheese, and that was it. My relationship with the customer was they'd come in, I'd sell them cheese, I'd feel good about it, they'd be happy, and we'd move on. But within the first couple of months, I met an arsenal of winemakers, and they were coming to me with their, you know, Trousseaux and their, you know, Pinot Gris and their Grenache Blanc, and they wanted me to find a pairing, and could they find something local, or could it be something from wherever the grape originated? And I had to do a massive crash course for myself in winemakers of the area and pairing. And so now my cheese selection has actually evolved to cheeses that pair well with wines being produced in this part of the world, and how to actually pair other items too. So I decided that today I'd bring you two cheeses that I really love right now that are one local and one imported, and different nuts that we love to pair with cheeses, and just a couple of different products that we just love and rely on at the store. So I brought Cowabunga, which is one of my favorite cheeses from Bohemian Creamery. Lisa Gutrich makes this cheese. It's pasteurized cow's milk, and then she makes a goat's milk caramel that she fills with the cheese is filled with a cajeta, goat milk caramel. So when you cut into it, you get a little bit of the caramel in every bite, and it's kind of ridiculous. It's just, it's creamy and sweet, and,
like,
you know,
an astonishing thing.
And she's just, as a cheesemaker in Sonoma County, has completely evolved. She's just producing excellent cheeses. And this we cannot keep in stock, and we hoard it if we run low. And so we love it.
Can't wait to try it.
And then I brought the Kuzia whiskey, Kuzia tobacco. I love the Kuzia whiskey. I love this producer. This is a cheese that's made. It's a newer production, and they make four different types now that I know of. They do a chestnut leaf wrapped, a tobacco leaf wrapped, whiskey washed and malt berry covered, and a grappa washed with fruit that has been soaking in grappa. And it all comes from this producer in northern Italy, and it's imported by Frescatalia in the Bay Area. And the Kuzia tobacco is the one I brought because it's perfect right now for fall with all of the fall fruits and the veggies. And it's Kuzia just means anything, so whatever kind of milk they have is how they make the cheese. Okay. So sometimes it's goat, sometimes it's cow and sheep, sheep and cow, goat and sheep. It's hilarious. Every time it's different. And the package always reads something like milk of animal tradition. And you're like, great, that's great. I had a struggle bringing Ecuadorian cheeses into the United States and meet with all these different feds, but that gets into the United States. That's fantastic.
That's wonderful. And on that note, we are going to take a quick break. And, of course, this is our fall membership drive, so you know one of the things that's coming up. But on Mouthful, it wouldn't be a show about cheese without Monty Python.
Sketch, please.
Good morning.
Morning, sir. Welcome to the National Cheese Emporium.
Ah, thank you, my good man.
What can I do for you, sir?
Well, I was sitting in the public library in Thurman Street just now, skimming through Rogue Herries by Hugh Walpole, and I suddenly came over all peckish.
Peckish, sir?
Esurient.
Eh?
Yeah, we're all hungry-like.
Ah, hungry.
In a nutshell. And I thought to myself, a little fermented curd will do the trick. So I curtailed my Walpoling activities, sallied forth and infiltrated your place of purveyance to negotiate the vending of some cheesy comestibles.
Come again?
I want to buy some cheese.
Oh, I thought you were complaining about the bouzouki player.
Oh, heaven forbid, I am one who delights in all manifestations of the Terpsichorean muse.
Sorry?
Well, I can ask Junior Forstu.
So he can go on playing, can he?
Most certainly. Now then, some cheese, please, my good man.
Certainly, sir. What would you like?
Well, how about a little Red Leicester?
I'm afraid we're fresh out of Red Leicester, sir.
Oh, never mind. How are you on Tilsit?
I'm afraid we never have that at the end of the week, so get it fresh on Monday.
Tish-tish. No matter. Well, stout yeoman, 4 ounces of Caerphilly, if you please.
Ah, it's been on order, sir, for 2 weeks. Was expecting it this morning.
Not my lucky day, is it? Bell Paisley?
Sorry, sir.
Red Windsor?
Normally, sir, yes. Today, the Vandal's down.
Ah. Stilton?
Sorry.
Emmental? Gruyere?
No. Nope.
Any Norwegian Jarlsberger, per chance?
Nope.
Liptar?
Nope.
Lancashire?
Nope.
White Stilton?
Nope.
Danish Brew?
Nope.
Double Gloucester?
Nope.
Cheshire?
Nope.
Dorset Blue Vinny?
Nope.
Brie, Roquefort, Pont-l'Évêque, Port-Salut, Savoyard, Saint-Paulin, Carré de l'Est, Brest Bleu, Brossard?
Nope.
Camembert, perhaps?
Ah, we have Camembert, yes, sir.
You do? Excellent.
Yes, sir. It's a bit runny.
Oh, I like it runny.
Well, it's very runny, actually.
No matter. Fetch hither le fromage de la Belle France. Mm.
I think it's a bit runnier than you'll like it, sir.
I don't care how fucking runny it is. Hand it over with all speed.
Oh!
What now?
The cat's eaten it. That's it. Cheater.
Gouda?
No.
Edam?
No.
Caithness?
No.
Smoked Austrian?
No.
Japanese Sage Derby?
No, sir.
You do have some tea, do you?
Of course, sir. It's a tea shop, sir.
No, don't tell me. I'm keen to guess.
Fair enough.
Wednesday, though.
Yes?
Ah, well, I'll have some of that.
Oh, I thought you were talking to me, sir. Mr. Wensley Dale, that's my name.
Greek feta?
Not as such.
Gorgonzola?
No.
Parmesan?
No.
Mozzarella? Pickle
no.
Crema? Danish bimbo?
No.
Czech sheep's milk?
No.
Venezuelan beaver cheese?
Not today, sir, no.
Ah, how about cheddar?
Well, we don't have much corporate round here, sir.
Not much it's the single most popular cheese in the world!
Not round here, sir.
And what is the most popular cheese round here?
Worcester, sir.
Is it?
Oh, yes, sir. It's staggeringly popular in this manor.
Is it?
It's our number one bestseller, sir.
I see. Ilchester, eh?
Right, sir.
All right. Okay. Have you got any? He asked, expecting the answer no.
I'll have a look, sir.
It's not much of a cheese shop, is it?
Finest in the district.
Explain the logic underlying that conclusion, okay?
Well, it's so creamy, sir.
It's certainly uncontaminated by cheese.
You haven't asked me about limbo, has it?
Is it worth it? Have you shut that bloody bazooki up?
Tell me, sir.
Have you got any Limburger?
No.
That figures. Predictable, really, I suppose. It was an act of purest optimism to oppose the question in the first place. Tell me.
Yes, sir?
Have you, in fact, got any cheese here at all?
Yes, sir.
Really?
No, not really, sir.
You haven't?
No, sir, not a scrap. I was deliberately wasting your time, sir.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to shoot you.
Righto, sir.
What a senseless waste of human life.
Yeah, what a senseless waste of human life. We, as Michelle said, we're pledging, so we're back on the air with asking for donations. And we've got some really, really special things coming out. Now, if you've been on the air, been listening to KRCB today, you'll know that we've got a new number. But you need to forget that number for the duration of Mouthful, because we're going to go back to the old 584-2020 number, because we've got some special things that the folks at the other Pledge Center don't have access to. And in here in the studio with me, in addition to the guest, is Kirby Pierce, who's the host for the afternoon on Sunday before me. Welcome, right. Kirby.
Thank you.
And we're gonna start out for $365, which is, we'll start out with the best thing we've got. It's a dollar a day. It's an incredible bargain. $30 a month, and you get a Mouthful's bag of cookbooks. So Michelle will handpick 13 cookbooks of her favorites, probably with a little encouragement, would sign one or two of them, and comes in a large, and it says capacious, KRCB zippered tote bag.
And that's really, you think about it, a dollar a day, that's less than coffee money. And instead of coffee money, you're supporting the most delicious hour on the radio here in the wine country, Mouthful, where you get a chance to learn from Michelle about so many of our wonderful local products here, local wines, local cheeses, local foods of all kinds. And it's not just about cooking. It's about what happens before you're cooking, picking out the right things, finding wonderful things. And that's all right here on KRCB. So remember, I mean, really, every one of our supporters, you're the public part of public radio. Without you, we're just radio. So show us how much you enjoy listening to Mouthful, and we'll say thank you.
Yeah, and that's, once again, that number is 584-2020. And, you know, I tell you, the studio has this incredible aroma of cowabunga cheese. And our guest mentioned the memory of the cheese reminding you of your mother. Well, this cheese does not remind me of my mother, because what my mother used to buy was either Velveeta and, on rare occasions, Kraft cheddar. So cowabunga smells nothing like either one of those. And that's one of the really wonderful things about Mouthful, is it brings unusual things in, things that you wouldn't otherwise hear about or know about. I've had a blast being the engineer for the show, because I've learned so much about Sonoma County and the food and the events that go on here. And you are part of that. We're all volunteers here. So want to give us a call, especially Michelle. Michelle's been volunteering, doing this show for 17 years now. And it's a you probably think of her as a local girl, but she's been nominated for the James Beard Electronic Media Award 5 times. This mouthful has been. So if you want to be part of that, you need to call us at 584-2020 right now. And Kirby has some of the other great premiums that would be available for amounts other than the 365 mouthfuls bag of cookbooks.
Right. We should point out, you know, that every contribution matters here. Every little bit is absolutely important. And to show you our appreciation for your contribution to the station here at the $60 pledge level, we have the book Deary, which is the biography of Julia Child. This is a new hardcover book. Also at that level is Bruce Adell's book, All About Meat. And
I'll tell you, if there's anybody that knows meat and sausage, it's Bruce Adell's.
And I should just add real quickly here, Bruce will be a guest on Mouthful in sometime in October talking about his new book. So you can call now, 584-2020, get the book, and be all prepared when Bruce is on.
And finally, at the $120 level, we have 2 tickets to Artisano, I believe. It's a festival of handmade food, wine, and art. And we're going to hope that you'll give us a call while Michelle is back interviewing. We're going to take a little bit of a musical break again, and then we'll be back to our guest.
Tuning in my milk won't turn. I'm complete. Please don't do me wrong. If you see my milk on business, please drive home. My milk I've been rambling for miles around.
That, of course, the great Robert Johnson, Milk Cow Calves Blues. There's some great songs out there about milk and cheese. We are talking with Doralise Handel of the Cheese Shop in Healdsburg, and now it's time to dig in.
Okay.
So I didn't even let you finish what else you'd brought. I think I see some pistachios over there.
Yeah,
there's some bread. There's some wine. Father's wine.
Yeah, it's my dad's wine. It's Petit Sirah with fruit from Alexander Valley.
Mm-hmm.
And he's lucky enough. It's made by Peter Wellington from Wellington Vineyards.
Uh-huh.
In Glen Ellen. And it's my favorite. I sort of dote on this one. He also makes a Zinfandel and a Cabernet. And in addition, my father, this is part of his retirement. He's retiring from textiles, and he's now
making
full-time
wine.
Winemaker and
that sounds like
selling
a good kind
grapes
of retirement.
And farming and all that. So he's actually has, you know, Peter's just a great winemaker, so we're having a lot of fun with any varietal that we give him, and he does wonderful things with it. And he's gotten actually a couple of awards for this with the Harvest Fair. So, and then I brought.
And what's the label? I can't quite see it.
It's a Denier Handel, and Denier is my stepmother's last name.
Oh, okay.
And so then, and Handel,
cool.
And so.
So it is commercially available.
Yeah, we sell it at the cheese shop.
Oh, great. Okay.
And it's been sold on Amazon's Woot.com a couple of times this summer, and he's trying to sell it at Scopa and Campofina, a couple of the local restaurants. So
excellent.
Yeah, definitely.
Cool. What should we try first? Oh, you also have, looks like hazelnuts.
A little distracted. See, these are Freddie Guy's hazelnuts from Oregon. They're fantastic. Uh-huh. And we have these in the shop. And then I brought some of the Dick Taylor chocolate. This chocolate is made by these really great chocolate makers in Arcata. And they were boat builders first, and now they make chocolate.
I've been hearing about it. What were they first?
They boat builders.
Oh, boat builders.
So they have some of their paintings and drawings on the front of the package.
Okay, yeah, I've heard about them, but I've not tried their chocolate yet.
So they source all their own beans and grind everything. Uh-huh. Are just doing wonderful things in Arcata. They actually did a seasonal bar this summer with black figs that were fantastic. So it was a
black fig and
Ecuador bean dark chocolate bar with black figs all the way through it. It was just insane. So I actually love to pair chocolate and cheese together. So it actually works out really well with the Cousier. And then obviously the nuts. I also brought pistachios from Redwood Valley. I really like the fact that we can get pistachios
that close. We don't have to go to the Central Valley.
Yeah. And that, you know, I mean, obviously the hazelnuts is Oregon is hazelnut country. Yeah. But we are getting, I have a, my friend Sally Weed actually grows chestnuts in Gridley. So eventually we'll have dry chestnuts and chestnut flour. Yeah,
and we've got chestnuts in Sebastopol.
Yeah, it's great. Yeah. So
in my backyard, sort of in my backyard.
And then this is just far away, but so fantastic.
Oh, is that butter?
It's triple cream butter
with
fleur de sel from Rodolphe Meunier. So,
wonderful.
So I brought that because
I just have to open this
butter.
And smell it immediately.
So good.
Butter is one of, I mean.
So because I brought the butter, then I had to race in and get some La Brea because it's the only really awesome combination out there.
That butter has a beautiful aroma.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's from Normandy. Normandy or Brittany?
I think it's Brittany.
Brittany.
Or maybe Brittany salt and Normandy butter or something.
Yeah, because that's the part of France. That's the one part of France that likes salted butter.
Yeah.
So that is my part of France.
Yeah, that's right. Exactly. Yeah. On everything.
Yes. So let's taste. Let's taste. You've got
So I'm going to
Okay, so you're cutting
so
into
I'm actually cutting into the cowabunga.
The cowabunga.
And it's got a really funky bloomy rind, but it hasn't complete. It's really a young wheel. Lisa was really adamant about sending me some young ones, and now I know why. Because you see the caramel.
Okay, you know,
center.
If you know Humboldt Fog.
Yeah, so
the
line kind of looks like that. Yeah,
it's a line just about that, very thin line of the cajeta.
And then it's, I don't know if you would like to just
take
up
absolutely
a little wedge of this.
Here, and let's share it with Mike here.
Yeah.
One of the fringe benefits of being the engineer here.
Right, that you get to try. Let's do this. I'm going to double it over. For the long
so this is pasteurized cow's milk.
Pasteurized cow's milk, and it's aged about, I mean, this is pretty young, but I would say like not even a month.
It was really nice, and the cajeta is just...
It's subtle.
It's really subtle.
It's not a lot. And obviously this cheese will age really well, too. It's a really good ringer cheese for us, and ringer I say because it pairs with all varietals, sparkling still, cocktails, beer, you name it. So it's a really great cheese to have on a cheese board.
The addition of that cajeta is just really remarkable, the way that it complements rather than overwhelms the cheese. Yeah. That is beautiful.
Yeah, it's a great cheese.
Yeah.
She's also making, a slew of other cheeses. And she's constantly keeping herself too busy, really.
I think I've had her on I've either had her on Mouthful or I've had a long conversation with her somewhere and want to have her on Mouthful.
Yeah, she's great. She's a serious character. You'd really enjoy her, actually.
So the wine is open if somebody wants to pour.
Okay.
All right. Dexterity here. I'll give you guys glasses.
And here, I'll go ahead. You're cutting cheese. I will pour.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so we've got some petite sirah in the glass, one of Mouthful's favorite sounds here.
Yeah, that's great.
And yes, Mike is not having any. The engineer
must
not drink.
I just get to look and smell.
It could get ugly.
Well, the FCC has a no-tolerance policy. We are allowed to drink in the studio, but the person who is running the board is not allowed to consume alcohol of any kind.
That's true.
And we follow those rules here on Mouthful.
Well, you are sort of our designated driver and everybody listening, so you kind of want to make sure you're in charge, right? So...
Mothers against drunk directing, something like that. I don't know.
That's a very pretty wine.
Mm-hmm. And obviously, it'll age. It's really young, but it's...
But the spice, the allspice, and clove and black pepper on the long finish are really nice.
Yeah, it's really just a great wine. So this is the Cuisier with... So this one, particular one, is with sheep this time around.
And, oh, cool. I'm very curious about the tobacco.
So the tobacco leaves are on there, and obviously Italians are not really historically famous for making cigars or anything like that, but they do love... Tobacco is definitely very present in Northern Italian cheeses and sort of that... culture. Sometimes you find them soaking it with, you know, rum or doing something with it. It's a really great leaf to use with cheese because these cheeses are actually aged up to 2 years. They're wrapped in the leaves that have been soaked in something or other, and then they wrap the cheese, and then they vacuum wrap them or they age them whole, and then they seal them. And it traps the moisture in, and it just keeps the cheese from drying out because there is really no rind under this. It's just cheese.
Right,
So you kind of need some sort of moisture, and it definitely, I advise everybody not to eat the tobacco leaves, but obviously you're fine. I did have one customer who ate a good solid wedge by himself, leaves and all, and he was wired for days.
Really?
And I was like, well, it's nicotine. You've got tobacco in your system now.
So that's
now,
a stimulant?
Well, he was definitely feeling something. So
that's really interesting.
Don't eat the leaves. Or try to, you know, or something. I don't know. A little bit of the leaves, I guess it's fine. You know, it'd be like chewing on a cigar or something, you know.
Yeah, I've never been a smoker. But there are certain types of tobacco that I remember my grandfather and his pipe, or my step-grandfather and his pipe, and I remember smelling certain types of tobacco just in the can, and I loved that smell.
Yeah.
It's quiet when we're all tasting.
And it's
this
delicious.
Really good cheese.
And then if you have like the cheese in the mouth, and then some chocolate in your mouth, and then the wine in your mouth, it's so exciting.
Yeah, this is a really lovely cheese.
Yeah. So,
and let's see. Okay, we have someone calling, so we're coming to the phone right away. But we're going to keep on talking.
If you want to get in on that, remember the number is 584-2020.
And you know, if for any reason, because it's just us here, for any reason, the phone isn't answered right away, don't leave a voicemail message. Hang up, count to three. No, count to five and just call back because it means we're running for the phone and we can't get to your call once it's gone to voicemail because, you know, technology and all that.
Yeah.
I should tell you, too, while you're listening to Mouthful, you can go on your computer and just simply sign up at whatever level you want to. And if you want that dollar a day, what's it called? Radio Lovers dollar a day.
Mouthful bag of cookbooks.
Bag of books. You can just put that in the... there's a place for comments, and you can just put that in, and somebody will call you tomorrow, and we'll take care of that. I'd love to pick out cookbooks for you. Oh, this is just so good. Now I want to try something with... Which cheese would you have me try with the nuts, with one of the nuts? Or would you just have me try it with the wine, or just eat it?
I'm just going to... Well, maybe the cowabunga, because that's just a really nice combination, so I can get into these...
We should say...
insane.
If you're just joining us, the cheese shop... is in Healdsburg on Center Street. It's about It's really like not even quite two blocks north of the town plaza.
No.
What's its exact address?
423 Center Street.
It's in the little shopping center. Where
the movie theater is.
Right. Right next to the Raven Theater.
Yeah.
The Raven Multiplex.
So if you're stalking Tom Waits this weekend, you would know where my cheese shop was.
What's going on?
The International Short Film Festival.
Oh, that's right. It was this weekend.
Yeah.
Yes. So many places to be.
So much. It's...
Did you have a lot of visitors because of that?
We had a good amount. There were a good amount of, I call them city mice, coming up for the weekend, shopping and, coming into the store. And
These are
And because
really
we offer lots of snacks, so when you go to the movies, we pack it in, discreet packages so you can sneak cheeses and all kinds of other goodies into the
What
the
a
movies.
Great idea. What a great idea.
So... We had a lot of that this weekend.
Mm-hmm.
So
these hazelnuts.
They're so good.
They're so good. They're so hazelnutty.
Yeah.
For lack of a better way to put it.
You can
there's so much fresher than just generic hazelnuts that have come along. Usually they come from Turkey?
They're coming in, from Turkey and Italy, and you don't really know, but they do hazelnuts, and then they do a hazelnut cream and chocolate hazelnut and hazelnut butter. Yeah.
Really excellent. Well, now, can I take just a little piece of it? I want to tell you about this chocolate. And I should tell you, I don't have a chocolate Jones. I kind of don't care about chocolate, which I think makes me a really good judge of chocolate. Because, some people, any form of chocolate, they swoon. So,
The cow. Oh, is that a question?
Yeah.
Oh, so...
Okay.
We have a question from a listener, and I'm going to grab it and read it. So, of the three milk sources, cow, goat, sheep, which has the highest butterfat content? Now, that's a more complicated question than on its face value, because the fat, it's different molecules, right?
Yeah. It's a trick question. It's based on the different animal breeds can have actually different higher butterfat content. So
I guess Jersey has higher butterfat than, say,
Jersey cow versus a brown Swiss.
Mm-hmm.
But then the milk is richer based on what...
What they eat?
Yeah, what they eat, where they're from, what kind of animal it is. And you can have high butterfat in different goat's milk from different goat breeds, and the same for sheep, depending on the sheep breed, where they come from in the world, and what they're eating.
Yeah.
So it's kind of a trick question. It's not one or the other. But if you're going into a cheese shop and you want to buy a piece of cheese and you're really concerned about butterfat, I would just say eat in moderation, because you're going to kill yourself trying to figure out how much of one and how little of the other. And it really is based on how much you're actually going to be eating. If you have 2 ounces or 1 ounce or 3 ounces, you're going to be okay.
Yeah. And I actually like to think that Mouthful listeners are out there searching for the cheese with the highest butterfat content.
I hope so.
Because they know, and I mean, the question, he doesn't really give himself away here, but the question could be that, because one of the things we have talked about here on Mouthful for a very long time is that butter, the fat of ruminants, the fat of animals that chew their cud, is very good for you.
Yeah.
And everything concentrates in butter fat, which means you have the highest nutrient concentration, and it's a very efficient way to deliver it to your body. And if you're eating grass-fed, if you're eating butterfat of animals that have eaten properly, it's one of the best things you can eat. So we'll just assume that that's what he's looking for.
We hope.
Yes. And what a great question. Okay, so let's... That chocolate is very interesting. It's very bitter.
Yes.
And I consider that a plus. But it also has... That same time the volume is turned up on the bitterness, it's sort of turned up on the sweetness at the same time. It's interesting.
Yeah, the sort of deception of a high percentage bittersweet or dark chocolate is, it's actually sweeter than necessary, you know, than you would find, because the sweetness is sort of on the back versus on the front. When you have milk chocolate, it's sweet up front. But on a dark chocolate, it's actually, it's sweeter on the back end of the your palate. Percentages, obviously, you get bombarded with all of what's really good for you or healthy and antioxidants. And if you have a pure cacao production and the bar is, you know, it's produced in such a way that they don't have to add any emulsifiers or fake stuff. You know, the darker the chocolate, it's, yeah, you have higher and richer antioxidants and it is definitely healthier for you than, say, a badly produced milk chocolate.
Right. Which is sort of, but, for a lot of people, an entry-level chocolate.
Yeah, yeah. So, but the, you know, really well-made milk chocolate is also really, it'll be fine for you. It's it's still made with all the proper ingredients. The really neat thing about single origin chocolates is the cacao grown in different parts of the world will offer those fruity notes and all those flavors that you tasted in an already processed chocolate, such as this one, because those are the flavors of the cacao fruit. So you would taste those if you had tasted the toasted cacao bean before it's even actually even turned into, you know, processed for chocolate.
For chocolate.
So Ecuador is famous for really dark tannin, you know, intense, you know, almost iron flavored.
Yeah, that's one of the
cocoa
more
cocoa beans.
It's one of the more intense chocolates I've ever tasted.
And it's because it's grown at a higher altitude. Ecuador, where they grow in the high Sierra, is at 10,000-12,000 feet.
Wow.
So, and they're all hillside.
Oxygen deprivation chocolate.
Yep.
Interesting.
Exactly.
Very interesting. Well, we are just about out of time because I have to give the boys a little bit of an opportunity to talk to y'all out there. But let's finish up with this butter. I love butter. I worship. In fact, I'm getting
butter
ready.
Butter is better for you.
I'm getting ready to write a book about butter.
If you're afraid of butter, use cream. That's what Julia Child said. So
yes.
We worship
and
that idea.
Butter is one of the magical gifts of nature. So I want you to tell us about this. Is this one popular, first of all?
Well, it's popular among us.
That's
chefs,
what I mean.
You know, and foodies. It definitely, people
beautiful.
Sort of run for the hills because it is a triple cream. So it is literally, you know, 86% butter fat to water mass. So, Kurt, you might freak out. But, you know, that's just delicious. Look at the salt melting on it.
The
and
salt
it's in
melting,
a butter mold.
It's in a butter mold. Yeah. It's a beautiful, soft yellow color. It's absolutely gorgeous. And the thing is butter, what is it? In the United States, it has to be called butter, what, 82% butter fat?
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's like 4% and all that means is it's more pure. It doesn't mean that you're getting something bad. It just means you're getting more of what you pay for when you buy butter.
Yeah, once you take butter fat away, you basically have to add something into your system to replace it, and a supplement's just not going to do it.
Yeah. So let's see, I'm going to grab
your bread.
Here's some bread, and I'm going to grab your knife.
And
I'm just taking over your butter, aren't I?
You really have to. It's required.
So let's see. You just get a...
Yeah, see how it melts? Oh, my God. Thank you.
You get the first piece. And let's see, Kirby, you might have to wait.
It's okay.
We're going to get this over there to Michael. Here you go. Mm. And how much does this butter sell for?
We sell it for $10.
$10. And it's 300 grams?
I think it's...
About 250?
It might be close to a pound, actually.
Oh, okay.
It's
a little hard to tell with the shape.
Kind of tricky.
Oops.
It might be, I don't know, half pound?
Oh, here we go. Here we go. And I can't even see. I can't see where it is. You know your label.
Well, it's wonderful that there's no FCC.
250 grams.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah.
I just gave Joey a nibble.
Yeah.
He approves. Oh, my God, this is the best. This is some of the best butter I have ever.
Yeah.
Truly. This
it's
is sensational.
The best butter.
And on that note, I've got to say goodbye to you. Doralise Hendel, thank you so much. Again, happy birthday. Tell people how to find you.
I'm at obviously at 423 Center Street in the Healdsburg Shopping Center in Healdsburg. Chances are you might run into me at a bar somewhere because, you know, that's part of my life.
And what are the hours of the cheese shop?
We're open Monday through Saturday, 11 a.m. to 6 p.m., closed on Sundays. And my website is Sharp and Nutty, which was the nickname I got years ago. Okay. So
Sharp and Nutty. And that is posted on the Mouthful Facebook page. I will post it again. Along with all the other details. And truly, you owe it to yourself to head to Healdsburg and buy some of this butter, not to mention cowabunga, the other cheese.
The tobacco, Kuzia tobacco.
And, you know, next time you're having a bad day, just go in and let Doralise make it all go away. Yeah. And on that note, join me here next week for another yummy episode of Mouthful when Doug Gosling and several other people involved in the upcoming Calabash come to talk about one of the great fall festivals. See you next week, but stay tuned because the boys have something to say.
And as you know, we're in pledge break. So if you want to give us a call, 584-2020, for $365, you can get that wonderful selection of 13 cookbooks, hand-chosen and signed by Michelle. Maybe not all of them, but at least one or two. And it comes in this capacious KRCB zippered bag.
And for those of you who have really been enjoying this show, and I'll bet there's a lot of you because we've certainly been enjoying it here, if you want to contact us and talk to us about your pledge to this station, we'd like you to call us this evening at 584-2020.
That's the old number, so don't be calling the 800 number if you want some of these gifts that we've been talking about. You have to call 584-2020.
That's right. These are special and unique to this show, Mouthful. For example, at the $120 level, we're offering a pair of tickets to Artisano, which is a festival of handmade food, wine, and arts, a wonderful connection to what's going on locally here in Sonoma County.
And for $60, you can get your choice of Deary, which is a brand new hardcover book. It's a biography of Julia Child. I hear it's a wonderful read. I mean, how could anything about Julia Child not be wonderful?
Exactly.
I'm sure butter is mentioned a thousand times.
On every page.
On every page. And the other choice is Bruce Adele's book, All About Meat. And I mean, you've got your choice of Julia and butter or Bruce and sausage. What a great deal. You need to call 584-2020 right now. That's for a $60 pledge.
And $60, that's, you know, it's not a lot. And it means a lot to us, though. And so consider supporting the radio that you really love to listen to here. We have news that you need to make your decisions. We have wonderful music, classical pieces that you might not hear anyplace else. And, of course, we have Mouthful, which you've just been listening to. Absolutely the most delicious hour on the radio right here on KRCB.
And that's going to wrap it up for us. Coming up next is Outbeat. So stay tuned, and we'll see you next week.
Children, it is plain but true. God knows if a preacher preaches long enough.
Mouthful, the Wine Country's most delicious hour, is produced and hosted by Michelle Anna Jordan, who also selects Mouthful's music. Live episodes are engineered by Michael Young and occasionally by Mary Moore Campagna. Mark Fuller is Mouthful's recording and post-production engineer. Podcasts are available at iTunes and krcb.org. For more information, to suggest a guest, and to find out how to be a guest yourself, email catsmilk@sonic.net or send a message via Mouthful's Facebook page.
Listen to what the preacher says.
Let praise be.
Let it be.
We are your North Bay Public Media Connection, KRCB FM Windsor, Santa Rosa, on the air at 91.1 and 90.9 FM, and always streaming online at krcb.org. And if you're a Comcast, a digital cable customer, tune in on channel 961 or channel 202.